Mark's Gospel chapter 2, please. Gospel of Mark in chapter 2. Matthew, then Mark, chapter 2, verse number 1. And again he entered into Capernaum, after some days that it was noised that he was in the house, that is the Lord Jesus. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed, wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, that is to the man that was sick, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Now, the second reading might not be so easy for you to find. It's in Colossians chapter 1, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 12. Colossians 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14 says, In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, final reading is back in Acts, please, in Acts chapter 13. Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts 13. Acts 13 and verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe, that is, by the Lord Jesus, all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. I think it's fairly obvious what I have before me at the close of the meeting tonight, but as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sure I'm speaking for a good number in this audience, I would like to speak of the sweetest thing that a person can know in this life, and it is this. To know that your sins are forgiven. Do you know that tonight? No, I did not ask you, do you hope they are? Or do you think that they are forgiven? But do you know tonight that your sins are forgiven? How do you know that they're forgiven? What do you have tonight that confirms to your heart that your sins are forgiven? Because this Bible makes it absolutely clear that nobody can go to heaven without their sins forgiven, or more than that, nobody can go to heaven with their sins. So sins have to be forgiven. We live in a very, very unforgiving world. We live in a cruel world. At Gospel Meetings last June in Toronto, there were four teenagers that got into a scuffle at a subway station over a ball cap. One of them died of a stab wound because the boy whose cap got torn wasn't going to forgive. We live in a world that parents tell their children that if he does that to you in school, you get him back. And where man and woman, husband and wife say, listen, hey, if it's tough, you don't have to take that from him. Walk out! Nobody has to forgive anybody. A very, very unforgiving world. So you stand on a platform like this tonight and speak about forgiveness. We're talking about something that, generally speaking, is foreign to the thinking of modern man, because we do not live in a forgiving world, but a very, very unforgiving world. But we're glad to preach tonight a message of a God that forgives. And it isn't a God that just blindsides sin and kind of looks the other way and hopes that you'll behave yourself better in the future. But we're preaching a God tonight that, because of what his son has done in Calvary, you can know your sins forgiven. And if you don't know that they're forgiven in this meeting tonight, then the chart very clearly settles it. You are not on that narrow road going to heaven, but the Bible says you are on the broad road that's going down to hell. Now, we have read three things about the forgiveness of sins. First of all, we read here in Mark chapter 2 that there's a place where sins are forgiven. I will never forget the place where my sins were forgiven. It was not at the front of any church. It was not in conversation with any minister or priest or anybody else, because they can't forgive sins. The chapter says it. These are priests that are speaking here, and they admit only God can forgive sins. But from the Word of God, I understood for the first time something about Calvary, the cross, that I never understood before. And it was this, that through the death of the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross, my sins had been put away. That it suddenly was not only a disease that had been cured, but it had been a debt that was cleared. I was forgiven. Wonderful to be forgiven. Just the burden of it to be gone. To be able to say my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, was nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Now let me ask you, do you know your sins forgiven? If you don't, would you like to know that they are forgiven? I would not stand here, nor would Mr. Orzak, and even attempt to preach the gospel if we didn't believe that before you rose off that chair in this gospel meeting tonight and left our little hall, that you couldn't know that your sins are forgiven, because you can. Because we're saying it? No. Because this Bible says you can know that. Because this Bible says it. Mark chapter 2 is one of the most interesting passages, the first 10 verses that we have of all that the Lord Jesus did. Because we have a man here that could do nothing about his circumstance. He was tied to this bed. Not physically tied to it, but where he went, the bed went with him. And where the bed went, he went in it. And that's why the friends came, four of them, picked this man in the bed up and brought him to the only one that could meet his need. The Lord Jesus Christ. And what was he doing? He was not in a house performing miracles. Although it's a miracle when a person gets saved, I'll tell you what he was doing. It says he was in the house, and he preached the word unto them. And that's why Acts 13 and 38 says, be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So here's four men, so concerned about their friend that they will take him in the bed to a place where they will, where he will meet someone that can do something about his sins. Undoubtedly, he had tried many. There's a woman that the Lord Jesus told about, and she spent all of her resources on physicians that could not make her better. In fact, Mark tells us she is actually getting worse. That's your condition tonight. You're not improving. Sin doesn't improve anybody. Well, you may get used to living with it. Just like a dreaded disease. Like a man told me not too long ago, he says, Murray, he says, I'm getting used to it. But it's getting me. And my friend, it will get you too. Because the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now just follow me for a minute with this man. Here he is, and he comes to the house. The house is packed with people. You know, that doesn't turn them away. These people could have said, oh, listen, we, our friend, we've done the best that we can. We can't get you in the house. We're going home. No, sir. They were not going to be stopped by anything. If it meant going up on that roof and lifting off those tiles, they would do it. And bring that man on the bed right down to where the Lord Jesus was, because he was the one that could forgive his sins. And they knew that he could forgive his sins. Because he preached the word unto them. You see, it's by the Bible that you know that your sins are forgiven. We're not making that clear. Understand that a person knows their sins are forgiven because the Bible tells them that. God's word tells them. And when the Lord Jesus saw this man come, saw the faith of the man, he just looked at that man and he said, son, your sins are forgiven. That be enough for you? But there were people standing around that couldn't have given that much for that man. They didn't care. They wouldn't give the time of day until they heard that. Oh, they said, who can forgive sins but God only? They didn't believe the Lord Jesus was God. Now, he knew what they were thinking. And now he turns not to the man in the bed, but to them, and he said, which is it easier for me to say? To that man, your sins are forgiven? Or to say to the same man, take up your bed and walk. Oh, they were caught there. So he said, well, he says, you take your bed and walk out of here. The man bolted up out of that cot, took that bed, and out that house he went. Now listen, if you met him outside the door and asked him, are your sins forgiven? What would he say? I think so. Never. He wouldn't say, I sure hope so. He would say, my sins are forgiven. And if you were to say to him, how do you know your sins are forgiven? He'd say, just some, I don't know a lot about it. You just go right back in that house. There's a man in there that told me that my sins are forgiven. And that settles it for me. He did not know his sins were forgiven because he was carrying his bed on his back or on his head. No, he didn't know that. They knew that it was the Lord Jesus was God who forgave them because of that. That man knew his sins were forgiven because the Lord Jesus said it. And he need nothing else. My friend, that's the truth of salvation tonight. You have got to be able to take from the Word of God this truth that the Lord Jesus said, the Son of Man hath power on earth or the authority on earth to forgive sins. In other words, it's because Sin was committed here on earth. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven, came to earth, to die on Calvary's cross, that sin might be forgiven. In other words, it had to be put right where it was put wrong. You see, if, like people think, well, nobody can know that their sins are forgiven until they get to heaven. And they have some strange notion that up there sins are going to be forgiven. If that was possible, the Lord Jesus would never have had to leave heaven. He would just stay there and look after it. But because sin was committed here, he had to come right to the planet where it happened, where it all took place. And by his dying, he literally, the Bible says, slew him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through their lifetime were always subject to bondage, that dreaded fear of death and what it meant. And by dying, the Lord Jesus literally paid the price that would set us free. And so that's why we read in Colossians chapter 1, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Tremendous price that's associated with it. Not only the place of it, but then think of the preaching of it. I like Acts 13 and 38. Be it known unto you men and brethren that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So that verse very clearly tells me tonight that I can stand here with an open Bible, with the Word of God, and I can preach something that I have experienced, and that is the forgiveness of sins. I will never forget getting on a Great Lakes airplane in London, Ontario. I was going to Toronto at the time, and the plane was packed. And the seats were assigned, as you know, and my seat just happened to come alongside a young man, likely my age at the time. And in fact, he went to high school in Merlin, Ontario with Marvin Dirksen. And I could tell by the way the man was dressed, he was quite involved in his religion, just let me say that. He began to tell me about the school of theology that he had attended and what he knew and where he was ministering or whatever he called it. And I was only going to be about a 40-minute flight from London to Toronto. And I think we were going along at 14,000 feet, whatever it was. I just said to him, I called him by name. Now I said, listen, I said, if the captain came on here and said, ladies and gentlemen, we've had both engines fail, and we're going to have to do a forced approach, and we have two gentlemen on this plane that spend their lives telling people how they can be ready for heaven. We're going to give each of them 5 minutes to tell this cabin how they can be ready to meet God. I said, what would you tell them? He said, no. Look, he said, no, I said, no, seriously, in 5 minutes, could you not tell them something? What would you tell them? Boy, he was squirming and carrying. I said, he said, I would just tell them that, you know, that they got to know God, and he said they'd have to, just what we're talking about. I could hear some confessions, but he says, can you hear everybody here? No. He says, I couldn't do that. I says, and from those that you would hear the confession, what would you do about it? Well, by then he was getting a little uncomfortable, let me say. And he turned, he said, okay, sir, what would you do in your 5 minutes? I said, I'll tell you what I would do. I would tell them this. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I would tell them Romans 5 and 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I would tell him John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he was cutting me off. I said, my 5 minutes aren't up yet. Do you think you could tell a man in 5 minutes how to get to heaven? No man or anybody else should ever stand on a pulpit platform anywhere that couldn't tell people how to go to heaven in a minute. Five would be five times what you need. Need I tell you, my fellow passenger really didn't want too much more conversation after that. But I was so glad to tell him how I knew that my sins were forgiven. So glad to go back to that place that Mr. Orzok was telling you about the other night, back there in Port Stanley, Ontario. Take you to the very spot. Up on that third floor of that farm home. I'll never forget the day that we left and moved to the east. Hard to believe it was 20 years ago. Moved to the Maritimes. Shirley had things packed in the car. We had just three children at the time, and we're just about to go out. This was not planned, and I just said, listen, I'm going to go back in the house. Just stay in the car here. And they did. And usually she made the last round of things to make sure we had everything because we had sold the house. And I went back up, climbed those stairs, went up to that very spot. I went over, and I looked where that little bed laid, and I just stopped for a minute, and I bowed my head and thanked God that it was there. My sins were forgiven because I accepted this truth that when Jesus died on the cross, he died for my sins and put them away. Settled it. Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Listen, for the night that I read that, Luke accepted it because God said it in his word. If you didn't turn to me and said, are your sins forgiven? I am not sure what I would have said to you. But I'll tell you something. I knew this much. That the Bible very clearly said that the Son of Man had come to seek and to save that which was lost. And if he was going to save me from being lost, he would save me from my sins. I would never be in hell. Wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Do you have a place like that? Can you go back to a definite place where your sins were forgiven? Where you understood from the Bible something you never understood before, and it was this. That on Calvary's cross, when the Savior died, as we've been hearing, when that thief that trusted that finished work and said to Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, that work that was for that thief was the work that was for me, that Jesus died for me, the place of forgiveness. The place of it. Do you have a place in it? You know, people are so mixed up as to who forgives sins. Kind of like Naaman in the Old Testament, they often go to the wrong person. I can't forgive your sins. The king couldn't forgive his sins. The king couldn't put away his leprosy. Why, I want you to clearly understand there is no man, regardless of how learned he is, regardless of how intelligent he is, that can forgive your sins tonight. You see, to have your sins forgiven is something that you receive as a gift. But to receive the forgiveness of your sins, you've got to receive the one who forgives them. And the only one that forgives them is the one that these priests confess can forgive sins. God! God! And the one that stood that day in the house and said to that man, rise, take up thy bed and walk, was God manifest in flesh. It was God the Son that said to that man, thy sins be forgiven thee. My, what a wonderful thing. You know, you think of that man, he was never separated from that bed. Where that man went, the bed went. Where the bed went, the man went. What a picture of sin. To that meeting, what was once that man's master now would become a servant. You see, once that bed literally mastered that man, what a picture of sin. But when he left, that bed now served him. He decided when he would use it.
There's some friend in this gospel with you tonight. There's one that can forgive your sins today.
One who can forgive your sins tonight. Do you know who it is? The same one that forgave this man's sins. The Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he died on Calvary's cross, he did three things. He did many things. He did something for my sins. He died for them. He did something with them. He put them away. He did something about them. He literally put them out of reach. It's a wonderful thing tonight to realize it. But my sins tonight are literally out of reach. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. They're out of reach tonight. Behold, says Micah the prophet, thou hast cast all thy sins behind thy back. He put them out of sight. He literally put them out of sight, but he did more than that. He put them out of mind. Jeremiah tells us, their sin and their iniquity I will remember no more. And God has literally done something. He has put them totally out of his mind. Wonderful tonight to have your sins forgiven. Wonderful to know that you will never, never be in hell. Because there is one, my friend, tonight that has forgiven them. You know, I had when I think of it now, I don't know how I kept a straight face asking the man much for the old wreck of a car that I had. It was an old car we had at the back. There was this man wanted to buy it, fellow wanted to buy it. I knew he didn't have the money to buy it. I forget what foolish price that we sold it for. And he gave me a handful of post-dated checks. That usually tells you something. I mean, I've given post-dated checks myself, but just something told me that I don't know if the first one even was good. And nothing after that certainly wasn't. And he kept making all these excuses till I got to a point where I just said, listen, forget about it. Forget about it. You forget about it. It's yours, but why open for it? Now listen, if you stepped in and said to that man, hey, don't worry about Murray McCandless. You don't have to pay for that old car. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That wasn't your car. The debt wasn't owed to you. The debt was owed to me. The one to whom the debt is owed is the only one that can say, forgiven. And all sin is against God. All sin is against heaven tonight. And there's one in heaven that... Could I convey to you tonight? There's a God that's just so willing and so desirous of forgiving your sin. If you will only come to him. This Bible does not ask you to confess your sins. You couldn't remember them to confess them. It does not ask you to confess your sins. There's nowhere in the Bible you will find where an unconverted and unsaved person is asked to confess their sins. You know what they are told to do? To admit their guilt. That before God they're just a guilty sinner. And that their sins deserve eternal death. But there's one who can meet that need. There's one who can forgive them, and that's the one that you've sinned against. The place of forgiveness. Why, there's so many people that can relate to that in the meeting tonight. And there's a good number here tonight, sir, and be honest about it. You know right well, you can't relate to this, can you? No place that ever happened. Oh, places where you maybe had some experiences. My neighbor, next door neighbor, a very good friend of mine. My daughter-in-law asked me how I kept a straight face, but you have to do it. Well, I said to him the other day, I was asking this very question. Oh, Murray says, listen, he went in to tell me about what he saw driving down the road. He saw this vision. And he said, listen, people can say what they want, but he says, I saw a vision of Jesus. I said, well, Ken, what did that vision do for you? Well, I said, I'm telling you, I saw it. I said, well, fine, I'm not doubting that. But what did that do for you? Did that forgive your sins? No, he says, oh. Did you need someone to forgive your sins? But friend,
We're not talking about some warm feeling you had someplace on a cold day, or some clear night when you thought you heard some voice. You know, I would never step out from time into eternity with that. I would want something of absolute certainty to know that my sins were forgiven. I would want somebody to be able to tell me that I could rest on. And God tonight has declared in His Word that the Son, three times over, you've got it in the New Testament, so there's no mistake made about it. Matthew chapter 9, Luke chapter 5, Mark chapter 2, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. You know something else that's telling me? That if you don't get it settled on earth, if it's never settled this side of the pillar, it doesn't get settled the other side. You see? If you don't get this looked after now, you won't get looked after then. Can't. In other words, it's got to be settled where the crime was committed. If I had the unfortunate experience of getting a speeding ticket, any other kind of a ticket, British Columbia, I don't go back to New Brunswick to pay it. I have to pay it where it was committed. Your sin has to be forgiven where it was committed. And they are committed on earth. And they are forgiven on earth. Bless God tonight that there's a place called Calvary on earth where Christ died. So without any fear of contradiction, you could just simply say, I know that my sins are forgiven. Acts 13 and 38, so authoritatively does the dear apostle say, be it known unto you men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all are justified from all things by which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So the keeping of the law would never get you to heaven. You need somebody that did keep the law to get you to heaven. And to keep that law, do you know what it cost him? It cost him his life. It cost him his life. And it was at Calvary that he paid that price that your sins might be forgiven. Maybe you don't like the term saved, born again, converted. It means exactly the same thing. If we never meet again, and if you never have the privilege of sitting in a gospel meeting like this ever again in your life, sir, could you take one thing with you from this hall tonight? That if you die with your sins unforgiven, regardless of what a man says as he leans over your casket in a funeral home or church or any other place, if you die without your sins forgiven, we've already heard the words of the Lord Jesus. If ye die in your sins, where I am, ye cannot come. Whatever you do, make sure you get this settled. Shall we pray? Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we bow and we admit to Thee tonight, there is a world that is so quick to distract, so quick to deny and to doubt. We thank Thee there's a God that's so willing and so quick to deliver. And we pray that dear sinners may be delivered from their sin tonight. We pray that any thoughts of eternity that people have had just for this hour, that have been put into their mind or heart by God, we know that it almost seems like there's the enemy himself, even before they leave this building, that is determined to erase it from their thinking. Lord, we pray that any in this meeting, and there's a number here tonight that know full well that their sins are not forgiven, before they take any sleep tonight, may this great matter become a reality, and they know from the Word God that Jesus died for me. Bless the gospel, we pray. Amen. Again, we thank you very much for coming to our gospel meeting. Delightful to see you here. I trust that you will come back
And we try and keep the meetings to the time. That is, start promptly and end promptly. There's one kind of preacher that I usually don't preach with. That's men that are long. Men that are long are men that are always late. And I like a man that starts on time and finishes on time. But we do try our best. Thank you for coming. Try and come back, and if you've got any questions about what you've heard tonight, we're only too glad to sit down and discuss it with you. We have some miniature tracts of this chart that you're looking at tonight that you can take home with you and read scriptures and look it up. So thank you for coming. Number 127. 127.